Okay. Yeah. So, sir, what we request is before you start, so you can, when you start, sir, you can introduce yourself, maybe in short, and then
Yes.
and read out the topic's name, and then you can continue with the talk, sir.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So, sir, are we ready to start?
Yes, I'm ready to start.
Okay. So I'm going on mute, sir, and we can start now.
Dear colleagues, my name is Pieter van der Kerkhof. I'm a professor of dermatology, an emeritus professor of dermatology at the Radboud University Medical Center in the Netherlands. And I have pleasure in giving you issue two of this podcast on tofacitinib. What I will do firstly is to give you a presentation on topical tofacitinib for atopic dermatitis. And I will refer here to a phase 2a randomized trial. And after that, I will go broader. I will go to pediatric dermatosis and give you a narrative review on what tofacitinib can be for inflammatory diseases of the skin in children. So, firstly, this study. I would like to refer to the study of these colleagues of Professor Bissonnet and co-workers, and it's a publication in the British Journal of Dermatology of some years ago, but it's still a very important paper. Atopic dermatitis, as we know, affects about 20% of adults and children worldwide. It has a high socioeconomic burden and a significant impact on health-related quality of life. We also know that current topical therapies have significant limitations, including inadequate efficacy, application restrictions, safety concerns, and patient phobia. And actually, at the time of this study, it was actually a long time that hardly any innovation came through in atopic dermatitis. So, with all the new developments now that we have in atopic dermatitis, this tofacitinib was one of the first drugs introducing this wave of innovations in atopic dermatitis. From a mechanistic point of view, the Janus kinase STAT pathway is utilized by atopic dermatitis implicated cytokines like IL-4, 5, IL-13, IL-31, therefore making this an attractive target. And tofacitinib is a small molecule YAK inhibitor that inhibits directly IL-4 and rapidly attenuates the YAK-STAT signaling of keratinocytes. So this now represents the first randomized clinical trial of a topical Janus kinase inhibitor in atopic dermatitis. The method in this study was the following: it was a phase 2 multi-site randomized double-blind vehicle-controlled parallel group study with study code A392124, and the product's name was then NCT02001181. The population. The study was done in 69 patients, 35 on tofacitinib, 34 on the vehicle, in Canadian sites, in Canada, five Canadian sites. Inclusion criteria were adult 80 till 60-year-old people with clinically stable atopic dermatitis, which exists already more than 6 months, with a PGA score of 2 to 3, that's mild disease, and atopic dermatitis covering 2 to 20% of the body surface area, with a lesionification score of smaller than 1. The treatment was 2% tofacitinib ointment versus matching vehicle ointment applied twice daily for 4 weeks to all atopic dermatitis areas. The primary endpoint was set at 4 weeks, and it was the percentage change from baseline in EASI total score, so at 4 weeks. And the statistical analysis was a linear mixed model for repeated measurements for continuous endpoint generalized MMRM for binary endpoints, but that's a technical point. And now let's see the results. We see in the figure, we see the time axis. The time axis with baseline and 1 week, and furthermore, 2 weeks and 4 weeks. And here we see what actually was measured. That is indeed the EASI score. And that was the PGA score. And that were these scores over here. That is here the score, the change in from baseline in body surface area. And we also found here the IC score, which tells us something about itch. Okay. And then we see here on these lines the tofacitinib versus the vehicle. Tofacitinib versus vehicle. And now what did we find? The mean percentage change from baseline for tofacitinib was, with respect to the EASI score, 81% reduction for the tofacitinib versus 29% for the vehicle. That's a highly significant difference, a significant improvement, which already was observed after 1 week. The PGA score, PGA, clear, almost clear skin at 4 weeks. That was found in 73% of the patients on tofacitinib versus 22% on the vehicle. And PGA clear, almost clear, of more than 2 points improvement for tofacitinib, 68%, and vehicle, 13%. The itch score, we see that on this slide here, we see actually that there was a significant improvement from day one through day 14, and also a significant improvement at weeks two and weeks four. So impressive improvements. And here on these slides, we see the EASI 50 score, that is the 50% improvement of EASI, the percentage of patients reaching 50% improvement, EASI 75, EASI 90 score. And what we then find is the following. We find that the EASI 50 response was significantly higher for tofacitinib at all time points, and EASI 75, the same holds true, and EASI 90, the same holds true. But this highly ambitious score, we see up to 40% of patients with this topical treatment, this treatment results. Okay. And now the safety, topical application. And when we look then at the safety, we see, of course, a summary here of treatment emergent adverse event, all events. And here are the adverse events related actually to the area of application. And that's very limited what we see. The area of application, there are only two patients actually applying tofacitinib, which had a form of irritation of the skin. But we see at the vehicle side that that figure was even higher. And we see the same for adverse events in general. So overall, treatment emerging adverse event in 30 to 69 patients, with 89% being mild. And more adverse events reported in the vehicle group than the tofacitinib group. Two patients on the vehicle discontinued due to contact dermatitis. And following tofacitinib application, there were no discontinuations whatsoever. The most frequent adverse events were infections, nasopharyngitis, increased CPK. There were absolutely, there were of course, no deaths and no severe adverse events or serious adverse events. And there was no herpes infection or botulinum infection and no malignancy. So it seems, from a safety point of view, a great product. Pharmacology, the systemic exposure, all tofacitinib patients had measurable plasma concentrations. The medium concentration at week 4 was lower than at week 2, suggesting the improvement of the skin barrier. The maximum observed concentration was only 2 nanograms per ml, a 64-fold safety margin compared to therapeutic oral dosages. Higher concentrations correlated with higher treated BSA at week 2, but not at week 4. So, in conclusion, also for the discussion, the first clinical demonstration that Janus kinase inhibition improves atopic dermatitis symptoms through a novel mechanism targeting the Th2 dominant inflammation and JAK-STAT pathway. And tofacitinib, preferentially JAK3/JAK1 inhibition, blocks key cytokines in atopic dermatitis. The results are consistent with dupilumab efficacy, validating cytokine pathway importance and supporting the JAK-STAT as a viable therapeutic target. The topical tofacitinib 2% cream demonstrated significant superiority efficacy over the vehicle across all time points. Safety profile was acceptable with no safety signals. And the JAK-STAT pathway inhibition represents, therefore, a new therapeutic approach for atopic dermatitis, warranting larger, long-duration trials with broader patient population. So these were very promising results regarding to a topical application of an innovation in the treatment of atopic dermatitis. And now I would like to move to the childhood, to pediatric dermatosis, and what tofacitinib can bring to pediatric dermatosis. It is a narrative literature search. So we know that tofacitinib has been approved by FDA for rheumatoid arthritis, but has expanding off-label dermatological use, including alopecia areata, vitiligo, atopic dermatitis, dermatomyositis. Evidence for efficacy and safety in the pediatric group remains significantly lacking despite growing clinical interest. And mechanistically, the JAK-STAT pathway utilized by numerous cytokines, and you see here the cytokines which are critical in the pathogenesis of various inflammatory conditions. Tofacitinib selectively inhibits the JAK1, JAK2, JAK3 pathway while sparing the JAK2, offering targeted immunomodulation. The pediatric use raises unique safety concerns due to the longer life expectancy and potentially the long-term exposure risk. And a comprehensive review is therefore needed. And actually, these authors have done this and have published this in Clinical Experimental Dermatology about 3 years ago. Their approach to literature was a literature search using the well-known databases like PubMed, Scopus, Google Scholar, and EBSCO. You see here the keywords also indicated. And the study selection comprised 400 articles were identified, and 28 were included after excluding adult only, for we are looking in pediatric disease. And the evidence grading was done using the standard Oxford Center for Evidence-Based Medicine levels applied to assess quality. And the data extraction, two independent reviewers analyzed the work. Okay. Let's have a look at the results. A detailed overview is seen on the left side, so you can give more time actually to study that more in detail, but I will explain you some summary of the results. And I would like to start with juvenile dermatomyositis, where a level 4 evidence in general was reached. The indication, refractory cases of juvenile dermatomyositis, where more than 2 DMARDs or high-dose steroids have been used. The mechanism is that tofacitinib inhibits type 1 interferon signaling associated with sustained disease activity and muscle vascular complication. And the efficacy is a rapid improvement in signs, symptoms with steroid-sparing effects demonstrated largely in case reports. And there were some safety concerns, and with respect to efficacy, upper respiratory tract infection, some opportunistic but very rare herpes virus, BK viremia, death reported with combination of immunosuppression. So not with tofacitinib only treatment, but in combination, actually, we have to be careful in combination treatments. With alopecia areata, also a level 4 evidence was reached. Target population, severe alopecia areata, failing conventional therapy in pediatric patients. Both experiences there in oral and in topical application, actually. The mechanism blocking of CD8 T cell attack on hair follicles via IL-15 interferon gamma pathway inhibition. The treatment duration, in general, median 12 months, showing sustained response in case series, and the safety profile, minor adverse events, upper respiratory tract infection was seen, and then urinary tract infection in some patients, tonsillitis was occasionally seen, and a single reversible leukopenia case. What about psoriasis? Level 1B evidence. So we have more evidence actually here in the field of psoriasis. Mechanism is an inhibition of the Th1-Th17 pathway. It blocks IL-12 and IL-23 signaling, reduces keratinocyte proliferation. Both oral and topical applications have been studied. And the efficacy is a dose-dependent response with significant past year improvement, where the 2% cream was superior to the 1% cream. In pediatric, the challenge is that most antipsoriatic drugs are not approved for children due to toxicity and teratogenicity concerns. Safety is transient neutropenia, liver enzyme elevation returning to but liver enzyme elevations were returning to baseline, and also mild cholesterol increases were reported. And then atopic dermatitis. The mechanism here is a downregulation of the exaggerated Th2 immune response, which targets IL-4, IL-13 pathway. In adults, the efficacy is a 66% score out improvement and the 66.9% pruritus reduction in case series. And pediatric data are very limited. Multiple clinical trials are at the moment ongoing. Safety considerations increase tuberculosis, herpes zoster risk, but no malignancies were reported in a 3.5-year adult follow-up. Adverse events, upper respiratory tract infection, nasopharyngitis, diarrhea, hypertension can be seen, urinary tract infection, dyslipidemia, and generally well tolerated with favorable risk profile and therapeutic dosages. Some serious adverse effects could be infections, that is herpes zoster, tuberculosis, reactivation, opportunistic candidiasis. rare events, lymphoma, and EBV-associated lymphoproliferative disorder, dose-related adverse events, deep venous thrombosis, and pulmonary embolism at high doses have been reported. And hematologically, there is a risk lower than JAK2 inhibitors due to the selectivity. Pediatric-specific monitoring important is at baseline CBC, creatinine, liver functions, lipids, HIV, hepatitis B, C, serology, and MANTU test. And with follow-up, 1 month, then 3 months, and then do these investigations of CBC, creatinine, liver functions, lipids, annual tuberculosis screening. Immunization, varicella vaccination is recommended before therapy, before you start the therapy. Then some other dermatological uses of topical tofacitinib, and this is topical now. In vitiligo, level 5 evidence, limited evidence, and that was a study in combination with narrowband UVB. Also on halo nevus, actually, inhibition of interferon gamma and CXCL10 prevents CD8 T cell activation. It was an 8 weeks treatment case report series in halo nevus. Morphea eosinophilic fasciitis. That is targets the IL-4 TGF beta fibrosis pathway and IL-5 mediated eosinophil proliferation. And lichen planus. Here, tofacitinib reduces interferon-mediated hair follicle inflammation and destruction. And some novel applications. What about COVID-19? Theoretical benefit via selective JAK2/3 inhibition preventing antiviral JAK1 responses. And HIV, a demonstrated inhibition of HIV-1 replication in lymphocytes and macrophages. And what about pyoderma gangrenosum? A JAK1, 2, 3 activation identified in tissue immunostaining studies. So, in conclusion and discussion, tofacitinib demonstrates promising efficacy across a wide spectrum of pediatric dermatoses with novel JAK-STAT mechanism addressing significant unmet medical needs. Evidence quality remains predominantly case reports and case series with inherent limitations, lacking well-designed randomized clinical trials in the pediatric population. So it would be important, really, to have more well-controlled clinical trials in pediatrics. Unique pediatric safety concern exists due to longer life expectancy, potential cumulative exposure risks, and unknown effects on developing immune system. Critical individual risk-benefit evaluation required until robust long-term pediatric safety data becomes available through dedicated studies. We have to realize that especially the systemic application of tofacitinib implies some risks, but we can minimize this risk by adequate control of our patient. Use should be restricted to treatment-refractory severe conditions under specialist supervision, where potential benefit may outweigh unknown risks, and future research priorities must include well-designed randomized clinical trials with adequate pediatric sample size and minimum 5-year safety follow-up studies. Thank you very much for your attention.